Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for a glorious day. And every day is a glorious day as we walk with you. We have no reason to complain about anything because you are so good to us and you love us so much. You've proven it over and over again. And your grace is always sufficient for everything that we will ever need for now and all eternity. And I ask you tonight, Father, by your Spirit, that you will forgive us of our sins, that are many, each and every one of us. None of us are free from that until we see you face to face, and that's the day we're looking for, that blessed hope. So tonight, Father, by your Spirit, guide us by your Word, and let your Word be truly true to us in all aspects of our lives. And may we learn tonight to walk in the way by the power and the influence of your Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we thank you and praise you through Christ's name. And everybody said,
Amen.
All righty. So we're still in Ephesians. And if the rapture doesn't happen with now, in about 9 more months, we should be through with Ephesians. We're in chapter, well, that's the gestation period, right? And I will not go any further than that. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And if we get to 7, that's great. Then we can start on 8 the next time. And God has promised us that He would always speak to us. And He has kept that promise because He's written this book that once the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, this book is alive to us. It may be dead to others, but it's alive to us. And He's constantly speaking to us by His Word. He speaks to us, today He was speaking to me individually, but tonight I'm sure He's going to speak to us collectively and individually. And each person sitting here is endued with the power of the Holy Spirit if you're born again. So He has specific things to say to you tonight through His Word. Not what I say, not what I might interject, but through His Word He will speak to you what you need for this very moment in your life. Maybe to help you later on, but tonight He's going to speak to you individually, and we're all going to be collectively in one in Him, because He dwells with each and every one of us. And He's always said, we're more two or more together in my name. There I am in their midst. So He's with us and He's going to speak to you through the Word. I will just share what I feel that the Word is saying to me. And if there's something special to share with me, I will share with you. But you must realize that Paul here was speaking to a group of individuals, wasn't he?
Yes.
Through the Ephesians and probably others in that general area. So when you read this, you read it, he's speaking to these individuals. And there's certain areas where as he's speaking to them, then God will speak to us through what he's saying to them, specifically for a particular point in your life, something that's going on in your life. Because we can relate to a lot of these things. But one thing I was trying to relate to today, but I can't. So we're going to get started here. And it says, Paul's saying, for this reason, or some verses may, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. And it's amazing here that Paul knew, even before he ever got to Ephesians, what was going to happen in his life. Because if you remember, if you go back into Acts, Acts 9, 15 and 16, and but the Lord said to him, go, he's talking to this gentleman, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So when Paul was on that road to Damascus and he got knocked off that horse, and Jesus spoke to him, and then when he went into that wilderness for that time of training, God was showing him and telling him all the things that would happen to him for his name's sake, because God chose him specifically for what? For whose benefit?
Jesus' name.
Right? And for whose benefit?
God.
Us as whose?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. But his heart and his passion was for the Jews. But God chose him specifically, that man specifically, for the Gentile nations. Peter went and the rest were ministering to the Jews specifically, but of course there was Gentiles would be involved there too. But Paul was chosen specifically for the Gentiles. And that's why he says, for this reason or this cause, it was a cause. God chose him. He says, Paul, you're my man. You're going to go for me and you're going to suffer. You're going to be beaten. You're going to die. I'm going to raise you up again. You're going to be beaten again. You're going to be abused. All of these things. He knew this going ahead. And here he is, I'm not sure how many years later, speaking to the Ephesians for this cause. But tonight when he talks about for this cause, well, let me stay with, he was a prisoner, yet he was still a bondservant to Christ. He was a prisoner, grabbed and maintained as a prisoner, a servant. But no place do we see any of his writings where he complained. No place. That's what I can't wrap my head around. He knew ahead of time. So, would we still be following the Lord if we could see what was going to happen down the line? I wonder. I wonder about myself. Is my faith that strong? That if I could see ahead what was going to happen? And he knew. God painted the picture for him. He knew everything that was going to happen. Yet, he still. But it was in God's grace, God's strength, and the power of the Holy Spirit, not in Paul's. But yet, he was willing. So we still have a part, don't we? Are we willing? See, that's the key. Are we truly willing to, regardless of what happens in our lives, will we be that bondservant? Will we truly let him master us as prisoners and constrain us to follow him? He gives us the power to. But are we willing? Are we willing to allow these things that come into our lives, yet still, like Job says, though he slay me, I will follow him. When the adversity comes, I pray for the strength, I pray for the faith that will eventually come, somehow, some way. Each and everybody is going to come up against something. And for this cause, he went, he stayed, the course, he fought that good fight constantly. Every day, every day, every day, every day, relying on the Lord in everything and every way. That's the beauty of the following Christ. When we are truly willing, we can fight it, we can argue, we can rebel, but he's not going to let us go. He won't let us go, that's his promise. So that's the beauty of, for this cause, and it connects the first two chapters. We were redeemed through Christ, in Christ. We receive our spiritual wisdom from him because of Christ working in our lives. We have our peace and comfort in Christ, and he's our cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our sure foundation. And this is what Paul's trying to share with us, what went before verse 1 and chapter 3. So he's talking about these things. He was a prisoner twice in Colossians, I believe, and then Rome. And he really didn't view himself as a prisoner of the Jews. He wasn't a prisoner of them. He was a prisoner of Christ, right? The Jews didn't put him on that cross. The Romans didn't put him on that cross. He allowed himself to be put on that cross. No man had power to put him on that cross. His love for the Father and for us put him on that cross. And the love held him on the cross, not the nails. Physically, yes, but I'm talking about he couldn't come off that cross anytime he wanted to. But he chose to follow and submit. So that's verse 1, that cause, that reason. It was a cause that he chose. because of his love for Christ and his love for the Father, to send him forth to us. Verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to you. And that's kind of a play on words. If indeed you have heard, he knows they have heard. He shared it with them before. He just threw that in. If you indeed have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, the actual Greek meaning in dispensation is a stewardship or administration of whatever, a household or a business. You're a steward of it. You take care of it. You make sure it's run right. And he was a steward of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, he said. God gave me this grace, so now I'm a good steward to share the grace that he's given me, the knowledge that he's given me. I want to share this with you. The grace of God. And the grace of God was so manifested in that man's life, from every word that was penned by him. Every word, it was all about God's grace, God's strength, God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's goodness, God's power. It's all of, remember when we started this out, I started out in Christ or of Christ. It is Christ. It's all about Christ. Everything's about Christ. Paul's whole life of the grace of God was of the mercy and love and forgiveness that is ours because of God's grace. Paul was sharing that with everybody that he would meet. Every place he went, his mouth was full of the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the peace of God, the comfort of God, all God's grace given to us. He was a steward of that. He was administering these words that God gave him to share with the Gentiles. It's a beautiful thing when we actually try to comprehend the deepness of God's grace in our lives. Each and every day, every one of us, if we would sit and meditate for hours on his grace, we still could not comprehend it. We couldn't really grasp it because we can't. We're finite. But that grace is there constantly with us. When we're sleeping, it's there. It's a wonderful thing to know when you lay your head on that pillow, that grace is there engulfing you, encapsulating your whole being because of his great mercy and love that he has for us. And this is what Paul was trying to share with the Ephesians through this message, and to me specifically, how much grace that God has for me because he loves me so much and no reason why he should. And you all know that, especially Karen. So he was called for a specific purpose, and that purpose was to manifest the fullness, the grace of God to us. I've written down Romans 11:3 here. I wonder why I did that. Well, I had a good reason, Romans 11:3, but I don't know what it was. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. He knew that it was going to happen too. And they actually took his life once, but God raised him back up, didn't he? Didn't he? We're all awake? Say it again. Oh, okay. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Israel rejected Jesus. They rejected Paul, and they killed Paul. Didn't the Jews kill Paul? Stoned him, didn't they? So Paul had that specific reason to do what he did. And so the dispensation, he was a steward of that grace to share with us. And I think also in Acts, maybe I've read this once already. Anybody taking notes? Acts 9, 15 and 16?
Yep.
Yes, okay, good. Thank you very much. So we can skip that. Then we're going to jump down to 3. how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written to you, written already. Now the revelation, what was the revelation? Anybody got an idea? I'm sorry? No? Well, there were, right. Supposedly, if we go down into the 4, it says the mystery of Christ. There was no mystery of Christ, but it was a mystery to the Jews. But the greatest mystery was that not so much Jesus and everything else, but that in Genesis, I mean, throughout the Old Testament, they talked about God's grace being shown to the Gentile, But here it is now that Paul, in a lot of his writings, there's no difference now between the Jew and the Gentile. They're all one. See, that was unheard of. There's no way anything like that could happen, because the God's grace and everything was for the Jew. Yes, the Gentiles could come in, but they wouldn't be receiving everything that the Jews would receive, because the Jews were God's people. See, that was a mystery. That was a total mystery. Even in the Old Testament, they weren't the church. The church, the body of Christ, is complete with all Jews and Gentiles. See, there's no division. The barrier is gone. So we're all one in Christ, which was not heard of, because the church wasn't even mentioned in the Old Testament. Gentiles were mentioned, but God's church, the bride of Christ, that was a mystery. And that was shown to Paul, what was going to happen. All these things were shown to Paul. Everything. Jesus revealed himself on that road to Damascus. And from that time forward, God revealed many, many things to Paul through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to probably, maybe, if Bob gets it ready, we're going to talk about discernment. But there is two discernments. There's our natural discernment, but then there's the spiritual, the supernatural discernment that only can come from a spiritual revelation from God himself. And Paul was constantly being given that discernment, that revelation, as he walked in the way that Christ called him to. So he made known the mystery to Paul, that Paul could share with everybody as he went on preaching Jesus Christ and the grace of Christ and the mercy and the love. In the verses 4 and 5, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now, being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostle and prophets. Now, read and understand. Everybody here now, I believe, is reading their Bible, following in the scriptures, right? You're reading it, right? Okay. It's fine to read, but the key word is understand. We can read all we want, but if we don't understand, what good is the reading? What purpose will the reading have? It'll have no purpose. They're just words. So you have to have understanding. And to understand these words that are alive as we speak them, as we read them, because like I said before, this is the written Logos. But Jesus Christ is the living Logos. And he says, I am the Logos. I am the living Word. And so in order to understand these words, when we read them, we have to understand them through the spiritual eyes, not the natural eyes. Because I can make this read anything I want from a natural standpoint. But if I'm reading with the spiritual eyes, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then I'm reading exactly what it is. And it means what it says. As you read, that you may understand. You don't want my understanding, you want his understanding. In every aspect of our lives, our Christian lives, as we walk in this life, followers of Jesus Christ, we have to have spiritual understanding of what we read. Because if not, then we can go to those other places, like Joel Osteen's, or some books that we read. If we're going to read something, supposedly with a spiritual context, let that spiritual context be in accordance to the Word, that our souls and our spirits will be fed truth, fed true knowledge, His knowledge. We'll have that understanding as we read, because the understanding will be imputed by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and our minds. And we won't be led astray. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of writings out there by all kinds of different people. But are they the words that we want to understand from a spiritual concept? That's what I want. I want to know this word just like we've mentioned it numerous times. The FBI, when they study money, what do they study? They study the real thing. And then they know it. If something pops up with just a little off, they know it's off. Because they've studied it. They lived it. And it's the same thing with us. If we live this, read this, and understand this, let it become a part of everyday life. Just like food, when you get up in the morning, you eat. In the afternoon, you eat. You go to bed, you eat. Or just before you go to bed. But it's a food that must be constantly within us. And it's a food that we can take to bed. That constantly feeds us, even as we're sleeping, because the Word is hidden in our heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Amen? So this is what he's saying here. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It's all been revealed to us by his word as we allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and our minds when we read it. We don't suppose. We don't read into it. We read it out and let it fill us, let it feed us. And that's what the Holy Spirit's purpose is, to bring this truth. Because Jesus said, I must leave, but I will send you another comforter. He will be with you and he'll be in you. And he will speak of me. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us from the Word, he's speaking to us what Christ wants us to hear. And that's how we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, working through his Word that is alive in our hearts and our minds. Amen? Amen. And when he says here, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And so they were sharing as God filled them with this knowledge, filled him with this knowledge. Ephesians 3, 1 through 7. Filling. He shared with us. He shared with them as the Word is sharing with us now. So it's been revealed by the Spirit to his holy prophets and apostles. And I'm going to throw this out. You can think what you want. There's no prophets today. Okay? There's no prophets. He's sharing with us, guiding us by his Spirit. Amen? There's men of God, good men of God. I know one. I know a couple. But there's no prophets. If you want to punch me later, go ahead. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through false doctrines, through the gospel. Through the gospel. Through the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news of God. It's God's word. It's the truth. It's life. It's food for the soul. Every time I get into this word and God shows me these things and how much of the other stuff that I was teaching and preaching before, it's amazing how God can open up your eyes and your heart when you're really hungry and you want the truth. So I tell everybody in here that if you want to know the truth and you want to totally be set free every day, you're only going to get it out of this book. You're not going to get it from any commentary. You're going to get helps. You're going to get, you know, knowledge of a word or this or that. But the actual understanding, the spiritual understanding, you will get it out of this book by the author of this book. Because this author could not make a mistake. It's impossible. Amen? And he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift, there we go again, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective, and this is the beauty of this, the effective working of his power, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. We have to be willing disciples to sit at his feet and let his spirit guide us into all truth. And you only find all truth in this book. It has to be him revealing his truth to you individually. Then as we come together collectively, we will all have the same mind because it's Christ's mind and it's for his word working on us effectively by his power, by his revealing to us what we need to know at a specific moment in time. We will never get it all. We couldn't handle it. Our minds would explode. But for each moment of every day, we will have that grace and knowledge, his grace and knowledge working in our lives at a specific moment of every moment in time to guide us and direct us. If we will be willing to listen as he speaks to us, because he's always speaking to us, and he's yelling at us here when he reads the word. When we read that word, he's blaring it into our lives. But when we're not reading it, he's still speaking to us in that still small voice because the words we have hidden in our hearts, and he will bring it to our remembrance when we need it. But when we're not listening to him, that's when we get in the car and we want to give somebody the bird because they cut in front of us. See, we're not listening to him then. We should be giving grace to that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? We should be given the grace that that person desperately needs. And that's when we're walking in the flesh. But we have no reason ever to walk in the flesh. We do it because we want to. We want to. When he cuts in front of me, I wanna. Because I'm walking in the flesh. And I'm not giving grace. I've been given so much grace. Can I give a little to somebody else? When I'm in the spirit, I can. But when I'm in the flesh, you're not getting any grace from me. But see, Paul was in that place where he says, I have found myself to be content in whatever state I find myself in. Can you ever imagine me saying that? But he said that. He was beaten with stones, but yet he still found grace. He was whipped, I don't know how many times. 39 times. Each time, 39 times. But he was content. He was hungry, but he was content. He had everything, but he was content. He had nothing, he was content. And that's because of the effective working of his power in his life. And this is what I was receiving today from this, that it has to be his power. But I have to be willing to allow that power to work in me. I have to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to me, as he guides me, as he's given me the strength to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But so often I choose to walk in the flesh to fulfill those terrible desires that I get. It's his effective working power that we must rely on. We must submit to that. We must be willing to do that. I must be willing. And so often I'm not. Well, glory to God, there's hope for me. The blessed hope he's promised me. That regardless, his grace will never stop flowing in my life. He'll never stop loving me. And he'll never leave me. And he'll never forsake me. That's his promise. Because His effective working of His power is working in my life. Not as much as I want it to, because I put a barrier up. It's not any of His problem, it's my problem. So I ask Him constantly, Lord, get rid of me. Get rid of me. Take me. Make me yours. Make me in what you want. I don't like me. Ever since I've been born again, I haven't liked myself because of what lies within me deep down inside. But it has to be Him. And I'm willing, but not willing enough. Amen?